talking that much about God, I think it's only right that you should now get up and pray for someone. Because the conversation was all about God, therefore you need to pray about those things that you were discussing about God. So I'm going to invite you all to stand up, go find someone, and pray for them. You've got 2 minutes. Hup. Except Christine, you stay there. Everybody else, you've got, except for Christine. Tammy, just lay hands on her. Come on, you've got to go find someone and pray for them. Don't let anyone be on their own. Yeah, and you, pray for him. Pray for him. I'm watching you. All right, let's come back to our seats. I was listening to a... God, that was loud, wasn't it? You could sound the last post with that. I was listening to a testimony Thursday of a guy who got into heroin, drug dealing, got put in prison for drug dealing, came out, got put back in prison, and ended up a psychotic mess where he was hearing voices and all sorts. And he was telling the story that one day he got on a bus, and the bus was full except for 2 seats, and one was next to him. He said, and this bloke sat down, and he said, the thing about this bloke was he had a massive neck, and this bloke sat down, they just chatted, and got off the bus stop, and a couple of days later, this man went to the hospital, and he was walking through the hospital grounds, because his flat was just behind the hospital, and he saw this bloke, and he said, oh, hello, do you remember me on the bus? He said, yeah, I do remember you. He said, oh, what are you doing here? He said, I go to church. Would you like to come? He said, no, I don't want to go to church. No. I was having a church over there, and they parted. Well, this guy used to go to the hospital to see the psychiatrist regularly because of all the problems, and he kept looking for his church, couldn't see a church anywhere. And he'd been in his flat about 2-3 weeks, and there was a knock at the door, and it was a little lady. And she said, hello, I just want to welcome you, I live 2 doors up, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, as you live here, he said, can you tell me where the church is? And she said, yeah, it's over the back, I'll take you on Sunday. So Sunday he tried to stay in bed, and she knocks at the door and takes him to church. And he's in church, and sitting 2 rows in front of him is the bloke with the big neck. And he thinks, well, this is a bit weird. And the service was great. And then he realised that sitting 2 rows behind him was his psychiatrist. And at the end of the service he got prayed for. And he's never heard voices or taken drugs since. God was on his case. So there you go, I thought that would excite you. Let's stand and let's worship and let's sing. Thank you, Graham.
People love.
sins. Right now, we put them down at your feet. And we just want to come into your presence and worship you. One heart, one voice. Let it be yours.
Troubles that we have and be in your peace, Lord, and be in your grace. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord, for being always with us.
Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. And you opened my eyes to your wonders in you. You captured my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Father, this morning we want to come into your presence. And Father, we want you to overwhelm us with your love. We want to be out of our debt, out of control, but fully trusting in you. Speak to us this morning, Father, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats for a moment. And in a moment we'll worship. We just need to go through the notices. First of all, thanks to everybody that was involved yesterday. What a brilliant morning. We raised over £146. Isn't that good? And we all had some food and some fun. And hopefully for those who were able to make it, you know a little bit more about why we are working in Sierra Leone. Because the conditions there are not easy at all. As I said yesterday, I pulled up some statistics about the infant mortality rates and the neonatal maternal mortality rates. As an example, in this country, the death rate of neonatal mothers is less than 3 per 1,000. In Syria alone, it's 75 per 1,000. That's a very high rate. They have an enormous number of early child deaths. There's no health facility. 60% of the population live below poverty line. So, and I've got some of the statistics, but thank you to those who came. If you couldn't make it, don't feel bad. It was great. It was fun. You missed out on the bacon and the sausages. And we had a laugh. I'd also like to say, before we look at the notice, thank you to everybody who's got involved this week. I don't know why, but this week has suddenly got very chaotic. And thanks to all the people who stood up at different times and have really got involved. And once again, our little church is brilliant. And the way you step up and you do this, I personally would like to thank you all, because this week, there were times I didn't think we'd get through it. And yet we've gone beyond what I expected. And if you weren't here Friday morning, chaos. Those who were here will confirm. Out there, we were calm, weren't we, John? We were in control. In here, I came in here a couple of times, looked around the corner, and it was just like there were people everywhere. And at times, I don't think we even had enough people in here to cope. Isn't that exciting? And they would... Yes, thank you, Chris. Amen. For a minute, I thought she was backsliding, but she's still with us. But what an excitement that more and more of them want to come in, want to be in here. And they're not staying 5 or 10 minutes, are they? So be excited. Which leads us on to, don't forget, the Warm Hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Even if you think you can't do anything, pop in and have a cup of tea. You never know what's going to happen, do you? and was it Thursday, wasn't it, that Sally came in and Sue was here and this gentleman came in and it was interesting. And you were here as well? I wasn't... All right. Sally was here as well. I'm messing with you. But we don't know what's happening, but we do know out there is a massive world that needs Jesus. And we are going to keep this door open as much as we can. If nothing else, just to say to people, there's a place of safety, security, and where you can find love. So do keep praying about the Warm Hub and about Food Bank. Just some of you who weren't aware, Joel Allaby, Simon's son, Simon is the pastor at Bolney, is in the last stage of his pastoral training, and he has been working in a church in London. For various reasons, that isn't working out, so he's finishing his training at Bolney, but the leadership there didn't want him just to come under his dad's tuition, so Simon's coming here every Friday to spend the day with us so we can mentor him and he can get involved. And I thought it's better to get him here when it's busy. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And we made sure he carried all the heavy stuff. So do pray for Simon and for Joel, because he's really seeking God on the way forward. He's a young man that just loves the presence and just seeks intimacy with God. And we want to encourage that, don't we? Well, we might just give him a little nudge of encouragement. You know, don't do too much. Anyway. Don't forget the prayer meeting on Monday. Unfortunately, I was unable to make it last week. I ended up counselling a guy and his wife. And but thank you to Chris and Jeff for taking that on and making sure it was brilliant. So I hear. So, well done. That's Monday, 2 to 4. Please come if you can. Life group Wednesday at 7. Or Thursday at 2 at Maggie and Jeff's. In the next few weeks, we'll be starting our next healing course. If you haven't done the healing course yet, you need to sign up. Because we want everybody to come through it so that we start at the same baseline. We find that so many people become Christians, and over the years they keep the baggage and they keep things that they should deal with. And so we like to take everybody through a course just to help them to get rid of some of that baggage so that they can then come fully into the presence and enjoy the full relationship with Christ. So we if you haven't done it yet and you want to, please speak to me, because we want to start that in the next few weeks and just go through the healing course, and then we're going to be running another course after that, which Chris is going to be leading. So we're going to have such an exciting time. While I was out here at the food bank, someone said to me, could I put a mirror up for them? I said, yeah, I can see myself doing that. This bloke said to me, he said, I'm worried about, I've got a first date with a girl and she's a vegan. I said, what are you worried for? He said, I've never been with her before. And then I found a beehive that's got no exit. It's unbelievable. They're getting better, aren't they? So I thought, my jokes are getting so bad, I better apply for a job at a sun cream factory. I didn't get the job, but I'm going to reapply. They're getting better. Just keep praying, they're getting better. Right. Oh dear. Right. British Airways lost my bags, so I sued them. But I lost the case. Luke chapter 7. See, you look forward to these jokes. I know you do. You're just pretending you don't like them. Luke chapter 7. And we're starting at verse 36. Luke 7 verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman this is. She is a sinner." Jesus answered, "Simon, I've got something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Crowds were in the streets that day when Jesus came to town. All the synagogue was there and more for miles around. And so I asked him home to dinner just to see what I could see of this famous local prophet from here in Galilee. And I don't know just how that woman got into the room, but she couldn't miss her gaudy clothes and her strong and sweet perfume. She went straight to Jesus' feet and stopped and stood right there and cried and wet his feet with tears and dried them with her hair. Now of all the women in my town, none was more well known for the flagrant sin she'd lived in and the wickedness she'd sown. But he didn't move to stop her. It seemed this prophet couldn't tell that the woman who was touching him was the kind they buy and sell. And I had no idea just what this Jesus planned to do when he said, "Simon, that there's something I need to say to you." So I said, "Teacher, if it's on your mind, then tell me what you will." But as he began to speak to me, the room grew quick and still. He said, "Take a good look at this woman now. In spite of all her fears, she's kissed me and anointed me, washed my feet with tears. She's honored me, and you've been only rude to me instead. You gave no kiss of greeting, no anointing for my head. And her sins were red as scarlet, but now they're washed away. The love and faith she's shown is all the price she has to pay. For the depth of God's forgiveness, it's more than you can see. And in spite of what you think of her, she's beautiful to me. Well, my anger flamed to hatred. I wanted nothing more than to take this prophet by the throat and throw him out the door. That's why God forgiving sins and ministry so to me. As I tear him from Nazareth in backwards Galilee. But instead I sat and trembled, shaken to the core. The woman still was weeping as she knelt there on the floor. Jesus turned to her and said, "Your chains have been released. Your faith has saved you from your sins. Rise, walk in peace. Your sins were red as scarlet, but now they're washed away. The love and faith you've shown is all the price you have to pay. For the depth of God's forgiveness, it's deeper than the sea. And no matter what the world may think, you're beautiful to me. Your sins were red as scarlet, but now they're washed away. The love and faith you've shown is all the price you have to pay. For the depth of God's forgiveness, it's deeper than the sea. And no matter what the world may think, you're beautiful to me. Your sins were red as scarlet, but now they're washed away. And the love and faith you've shown is all the price you have to pay. For the depth of God's forgiveness, it's deeper than the sea. And no matter what the world may think, you're beautiful to me.
Brings the story alive a bit more, doesn't it? We're going to spend some time just worshipping God. The first song we're going to sing is "What a Faithful God Have I." The song that was written by Rob Critchley as he held his newborn baby in his arms, knowing that his newborn baby was about to die. And in the midst of such awful trauma, he wrote, "What a faithful God have I." Whatever we're going through right now, whatever our personal circumstances, our situations, we can stand on a promise. That means we can declare, "What a faithful God have I." And sometimes we need just to say to God, "Thank you. You are so faithful." When everybody else lets us down, when everybody else does stuff that hurts us, "What a faithful God have I." So I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing this first song, and then be comfortable if you want to kneel, sit, lay down, whatever. But just for the first song, let's stand. "What a Faithful God Have I." Thank you, Graham.
Oh, Thank you.
As you stand in God's presence right now, be honest with Him. You can't put on a front when you stand before God. So tell God how you really feel. Some of you are here this morning and you're desperate to have a touch from God, whether it's for healing or for difficulties in your life. You're just so hungry to have God touch you. So as we worship, be like a little child. Just put your hands up and say, Daddy. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you because this pain is too much. Daddy, I need you because this sickness is just not right. Daddy, I need you because the hurt of what's going on at home is too much. Daddy, I need you. And as we worship, just put your hands up to Him. It's not about me or church or the people around you. It's saying, Daddy, I need more. Will you come and touch me, please, right now? Touch me and make me more how you want me to be. Because I'm tired. I'm tired of the stuff I carry. I'm tired of the stuff that hurts. I'm tired of the pain that's inside. Daddy, I want to get rid of it. I want you to take it away and heal me with your precious Holy Spirit. So as we worship, just reach out. Not to me, but to Him. Say, Daddy, would you touch me again, please? Just touch me. Just touch me. Right where I am. Those family issues that are weighing us down. Just touch me. Those pains, the ridicule, the hurts that have been done in the past. Just start to let God minister to you now. The illnesses, the sicknesses, some that you haven't even told people about. Reach out to God right now. Say, Father, I need that touch from you right now. might need to say it in faith and just say, I receive from you right now, Lord Jesus. Even if I'm not aware of it, I'm going to receive from you right now. Because you promised, Father, that if we asked as a child, you would give. So right now, Father, as we worship, we open our hearts to receive you. We give you permission to touch those areas that we try and keep hidden. We give you permission, Lord, to come into those family issues that are weighing us down. We give you permission to come into those health issues and start to pour out your Spirit. We give you permission, Lord, to break the hold of the past, that we can walk into the freedom of the future. We give you permission right now, Lord Jesus. This is just between you and Jesus. We give you permission right now. Sent away, turned away, that hurt that you've carried, that fear of rejection, it's time you put it down and let Jesus bring a healing right now. The Holy Spirit's here moving, receive right now. Begin to declare healing over yourself. In Jesus' name. We break the chains that have bound people in this place. We break the lies that have been spoken over people in this place. We curse the lies. We break them. We destroy the lies. There are no failures here. There are no rejects here. There are no second-class people here. We break those lies in Jesus' name. You are the precious, anointed child of God. Receive what God is giving you right now. Holy Spirit, breathe, breathe. You're precious. You're valuable. You're important. You're not second class anymore. You're not a reject. God has brought you here because he thinks you are brilliant. And he wants to take off all that baggage that's weighed you down for so long.
Present your afflictions to him.
Place
your hand on that point in your body that is ailing. Command his life in this room to come into that area. Take authority over that thing which does not belong in you. Wholeness in this room today. I declare wholeness in this room today. Wholeness in your mind. I take authority over depression in the name of Jesus. The joy of the Lord be your strength. Your joy is my strength today, Lord. fullness in your bodies today. We take authority over cancer cells in the name of Jesus. And I command those to dry up and be gone because of your stripes, O Lord.
Too long, my child, you have carried things that are not yours. For too long, my child, you have blamed yourselves for things that were not your fault. For too long, my child, you've lived under the oppression that wasn't yours. How long will you wait? How much longer will you wait before you come into the freedom that I have for you? How long will you continue to carry your burden when all I have for you is freedom? How long will you carry the stain of the past? How long before you step into my freedom? Be very quiet before God for a minute. Just be really still and let the Holy Spirit just begin to soak over you. Don't worry about anyone around you. Don't worry about anything that's happening. Just you and God. This is an intimate moment when the Holy Spirit wants to just come and touch you. Moment to be still. Just let him come. Give him permission. Be brave enough to say, that thing I've held back, yes, Holy Spirit, even there, come. That era of my life I thought I could cope with on my own. Come, Holy Spirit. Those circumstances and situations I've been trying to work out, I've been struggling for so long. Holy Spirit, come. That job I've been looking for, Holy Spirit, come. Just come. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the damaged. We break those powers right now in Jesus' name. If you've come with a heavy heart, put your hand on your heart right now and say, I break the power in the name of Jesus. If you've come with sickness, put your hand on that area if it's convenient and say, I break the power this sickness has had over me and I receive your Holy Spirit right now. Those anxieties and worries, I break those powers in Jesus' name. Because I'm going to start walking in freedom. I'm not going to carry the baggage of the enemy any longer. In Jesus' name, I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk with a light burden. An easy yoke. Because that's what Jesus promised me. And all this stuff the enemy's been stacking on me for the last however long, I'm going to cut it off in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, fill me anew like never before. We break the curses spoken over people right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shikaraba shikila kamarianda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Of grace.
Interesting morning, wasn't it? Didn't go quite the way we expected, did it? Do you know, why does God never work to my plans? This is important. God is taking us somewhere, and He doesn't want us to go limping and crawling. He wants us to go with boldness. What is it Ezekiel was told? Can these bones live? Yeah. Yeah. In the passage we read, we have an interesting study in people's motives. You have Simon the Pharisee, and you have the prostitute. Simon invites Jesus because he thinks it will look good. Hey everybody, I've got the local celebrity coming to my house. Look how important I am. Jesus has come to my house. Hey everybody, are you noticing at the back, Roxanne, Jesus has come to my house? Good, I just want to make sure that, and can you leave all the doors and windows open so that everybody can see that Jesus is at my house? Very nice, my house. Are you noticing, Sandy? You see Jesus? Is it John? John, you see? But because the doors and windows are open, the prostitute creeps in. Ashamed. Intimidated. Frightened. Yet desperate. I'm going to throw you a little question. I don't have the answer. I'm just going to throw you a question. How did that man know she was a prostitute? Okay, so you've got the situation now. This guy is showing off and this woman comes in. And first of all, she's crying, sobbing. How do I know? Because it says the tears were washing his feet. That's not a little sniffle, is it? You know, sometimes something touches you emotionally and you have a little tear run down the side of your face. This isn't like that. This is full snot and dribble stuff, you know? It's the full, full stuff. And it's soaking his feet. And she's taking her hair. She's wiping his feet. What the Bible says is the woman's crowning glory, her beauty, her hair, she's using to wash his feet. It's a powerful image, isn't it? And then she's anointing him with oil. Just a little sidetrack and then we'll come back. In the old days, even at the time of Jesus, if you were going to a party, especially the ladies, you would take like a block of perfume, rather like a block of butter, and you would tie it on your head with a ribbon. And as the evening went on, and everyone was getting hot and sweaty, so this would melt and the perfume would run down over your body so that your whole body would smell nice. That's how they used to do it in those days. They didn't have any of that. It was, that's how they used to do it. And Simon says, Lord, this woman's a prostitute. I wonder if he's saying, I hope she doesn't say anything. This woman's a prostitute. Don't you know what she's done? Don't you know what she's like? And Jesus said, Simon, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet. That's an insult in those days. Because if you've walked with open sandals in the donkey doos and the camel doos and the dust and the dirt, and by the time you come in, your feet are going to stink. And if you read the passage, did you notice it said they were reclining? Now when one reclines, by nature, your feet are by someone's head. How many of you would like to be near a pair of feet that have walked in various donkey-doos and camel-doos and doggy-doos and dirt and dust, and those feet have been in sweaty sandals all day, and you're about that far away from them? Anyone up for that? So you washed their feet. It was the right thing to do. Just like maybe in our culture, someone comes in and we say, can I take your coat for you? Or, do you want me to take my shoes off? It's a mark of respect. And you would wash their feet. Jesus said, you never washed my feet. You left me uncomfortable. You left me dirty. You didn't wipe my feet. And it's been a long day. And I'm uncomfortable because I feel I'm smelly and I'm sweaty. And you didn't have time to anoint me with perfume so that we could have a pleasant evening. In other words, you were so busy thinking about yourself and your position, you didn't have time to think about me. But this woman who you despise has washed my feet. This woman who you despise has anointed me with oil. In fact, if you look further on in Matthew 26, the lady came again and anointed Jesus with oil. And the disciples said, that money could have been used for this, that and the other. But within a few days, Jesus was on a cross. And when he's hanging on the cross in agony, he would have smelt the perfume that he'd been anointed with, because it stayed for days. And I believe that when Jesus was on that cross and all that was going through, he had a reminder of the people that loved him and he loved. He could smell that fragrance. He was anointed. So the Pharisee gets a right strop, because Jesus has just taken this guy that thought he was important and gone, that's you. And then he says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Now if, and I'm still supposing, if the Pharisee knew anything more about this woman, do you think he was angry that her sins were forgiven but not his? Interesting thought. And he says, how can you forgive sins? You're only, you just, I don't. He says to the woman, go in peace. Is that exciting? Don't know where you're going, so I'm a bit excited. No. First thing I want you to notice, why people come to Jesus. Most people who come to Jesus for what they can get out of it. Do you want to know why so many marriages and relationships break up? Because people go into them for what they get out of it. It's a bad example, hopefully you can stay with me. Two people get married, and they say, if you satisfy me sexually, I will satisfy you sexually. In other words, if I get what I want, I'll give you what you want. And what happens is, neither get what they want. The alternative is when you are in a love relationship, and you get married, you say, I want to make you have a good time. I want to satisfy you. And the other person says, well, I want to satisfy you. And you end up, both of you, getting what you want. See the difference? But so often what happens with people is they come to Jesus for what they can get out of it. They don't come and say, I want Jesus for who he is. I want Jesus to sort out my relationship problem. Or I want Jesus to sort out my money problem. Or I want Jesus to do something for me, but I don't want Jesus. We had a guy came to church, my dad's church, and it was an evangelistic crusade. They're good, aren't they? Hundreds of people came. People filled up the cards and all sorts of stuff happened. How many people do you think came to the church as a result of that crusade of hundreds of people coming? One. Because the others either didn't get what they wanted, or they did get what they wanted. In either case, they didn't come back. And he says, no, 10 lepers came to Jesus. How many came back? One. 9 didn't want Jesus. They wanted something from him. Five 5,000 people got fed by Jesus. That was good, wasn't it? The next day, they came back. Because they wanted more food. And when Jesus said, I'm not going to feed you today, I'm going to teach you stuff you don't like, they said, we'll blow you, then we're off. They didn't want Jesus. Even Judas wanted something from Jesus, but didn't necessarily want Jesus. So he betrayed him to get his 30 pieces of silver. Go into Acts. And the sorcerer comes and says, can I buy what you've got? What? Because I don't really want to have Jesus, but I'd like some of the magic powers. And Peter condemns him and curses him. That's tough, isn't it? You see, we've taught a gospel that's become watered down and weak. And we sell Jesus as a coffee machine. Do you know what I mean? You go to the coffee machine and you push the button that says you want coffee. Well, it wouldn't be me because I don't like coffee. And you want milk? Yes. And I don't know. Do you want a latte or a normal coffee? And you push all the buttons. And you put your money in. And out comes the coffee. And you walk away from the machine with your coffee. Right? How many of you stop and say, I praise you, O great and wondrous machine. For you have indeed blessed me mightily. Indeed, I give my life to you. You see, you're coming to that machine for what you get out of it. But in reality, you couldn't care less about that machine. If tomorrow that machine blows up, you couldn't care less. You've got what you wanted, a cup of coffee. And for many people, because we've made the gospel cheap, we say, come to Jesus and he'll heal you. Come to Jesus and he'll sort your money problems out. Come to Jesus and life will be wonderful. And we haven't talked about sin. And we haven't talked about salvation. And we haven't talked about death. And we haven't talked about judgment. We've made it a nice, airy, fairy gospel. And what we get is weak churches. And then you see, because we're a bit scared, we don't tell people about Jesus. We tell people about church. You want to come to our church? Mind you, we have got a lunatic minister, but we can cope with that. The chairs are really comfortable. And we make the best tea in town. And if you come, it's warm. And sometimes it's hot. And sometimes it's cold. And where did Jesus come in? See? What do you want? The Pharisee wanted something from Jesus. He did not want Jesus. The prostitute wanted Jesus. Whatever the cost, she wanted Jesus. The lady who touched the hem of his garment wanted Jesus, whatever the cost. I'm sorry, I'm not a lady, you may have noticed, but I can think of nothing more humiliating than for a lady to be publicly known as having a blood issue for 12 years. In those days, everybody would look at you as being unclean. So you didn't want anyone to know. And she faces public humiliation because she wants Jesus. And at the end of the passage, there's this little verse. Those who've been forgiven much, love much. You read that one, anyone? Those who've been forgiven little, love little. Did anyone else read that? Or was it just me? I want to give you a little example. This is quite complicated, so hopefully you stay with me on this, okay? Most people come to Jesus. And this is you. Alright? And before anyone says, I'm not saying anyone's an old bag, so don't try and get that one on me, right? This is you. And you come to Jesus. And you say, Jesus, here's my sin. And here's my problems. Here's my baggage. I ask you into my life. I've got all the stuff in here that I never gave to Jesus. And so when we have a relationship with Jesus, we say, well, it doesn't seem as though I love him as much as others do. For those who have been forgiven little, love little. For those who've been forgiven a lot, or the lot, love much. Can you see the difference? I'm not going to try and get that back in the bag, because I should fail. And so we have to stop and say, when I came to Jesus, did I give him the right to be Lord of my life? Or did I give some of the things I wanted to get rid of to Jesus? And that's when you come back to this story. Because this woman just sits and weeps and weeps and weeps. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, I want to be saved. What have I got to do? He says, give away everything. I said, can't do it. Can't do it. See, what happens is, because you've got your little bag still, without realising, the enemy takes things and puts them in your bag. If you've been rejected, and you carry a rejection with you, what happens is you get something else, and he puts it in. Somebody doesn't see you, doesn't speak to you, say, there you go, I've been rejected again. And after a while, the enemy, you don't get chosen to help at the Sierra Leone meal. And you know what? It's a bit more in your baggage now. You weren't chosen because you're not good enough, because nobody really wants you. Because you're carrying the baggage that was there in the first place. And so after the meal, everybody's clearing up, and no one's asked you to clear up. And you'll say, oh, you gay again? I'm being rejected. I was rejected as a child, I'm rejected now. And the enemy says, that bag's getting heavy, isn't it? And now suddenly you're coming into a worship time and you say, everyone else is going, this is great. And you're going, it's hard work, this. I don't seem to be able to fall in love with God. What's happening? Why is Peter talking about us all loving God and I'm here and nothing's happening? And you go away and the enemy says, I told you church wasn't for you. Back in your bag. And now what's happening is you're walking around carrying all the baggage that the enemy's dumped on you. Because you didn't deal with stuff way back when. And once you leave something there, everything builds up. And it's only a little problem, isn't it, at the start? And it builds up and builds up. And suddenly, you don't want Jesus anymore. Because you're terrified he's going to open up this massive bag of problems. And so you're being a Christian, you're keeping going, but reality is, God, don't get too close, because I've got so much baggage in here. And then you have a worship time. And God shows up. And maybe the leaders are praying and you're thinking, instead of saying, oh, hallelujah. Bring it on. So, do we want Jesus? Is the question. And then we've got a second question. How much is he worth? How much is he worth? If I offered you the most expensive coffee in the world, would you buy it? £1,000 a cup. Anybody up for that? What about if I said I've got the most expensive coffee in the world and it's free? Would you go for it? Yeah. I wouldn't, because the most expensive coffee in the world is that coffee what that animal eats, and when it's come out the other end, people pick the beans out of the poo and then they get... Can you imagine doing... What possesses some person to say... Cool, look at them beans in that pile of poo. I think I'll have some of them. I mean, I don't know about you, but anything that's in poo can stay there. Is it? Yeah, okay, I thought it was me. You see, The value of something isn't in itself. The value is in what it's worth to you. You can offer me coffee at any price you like. I don't want it. Not interested. Don't like coffee. You can offer me the most expensive coffee for free. Don't want it. It's not worth anything to me. If you're a wine drinker, you might say, I want this beautiful bottle of wine that costs hundreds of pounds. I don't drink. It's no interest to me. So what's it worth to me? Nothing. And so Jesus tells a story. He said one day a man's out and he's looking at a field and he finds in this field a pearl. And it is the biggest, most beautiful pearl he's ever seen. And he says, I've got to own that pearl. So he goes to the landowner and he says, how much for that plot of land? And the landowner says, how much have you got? And he takes everything he's got. And he says, here's everything. The house, the mortgage, everything. Because I've got to have that pearl. And Jesus comes to us and says, how much have you got? What's it worth to you? Well, I've got a bit of a bad leg, Lord, so if you heal me, I promise I'll come to church every week. Lord, I'm struggling with my family. They're really getting on my nerves. So if you could do something about those, I'll promise I'll pay some money into the church. Lord, I have struggled for so long with my job. If you could find me a new job, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday and I'll read my Bible twice a week. Lord, every area of my life has been messed up. The only place I'm going to is hell. I can't live without your love anymore. I give everything to you. Because I've got to have everything that you have for me. Because my life is a mess. And all I've done is mess everything up. I can't do it anymore. I want to be in an all or nothing relationship with you. The prostitute comes and washes Jesus' feet with her tears. If nothing happens, she is going to be so ridiculed, she's got nothing left in the bank. This is everything. Everything exposed. Everything. And Jesus says, you're forgiven. And then he says, go and carry on life. No, he doesn't. What does he say? He says, go in pieces. Go in peace. Now, all these Christians that are walking around and you're not in peace, what's happening? We're carrying a baggage that isn't ours. Because Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. And when you see Christians being weighed down, what's going on? Because if Jesus' burden is light and you're heavy burdened, where's that burden coming from? It's coming from the enemy. And you've left a hook inside of you that he can hang it on. You've held on to that hurt, that wound, that damage, that rejection. And the devil says, I can hang stuff on that. Look at this. Wow, it's getting heavy, isn't it? Come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, what are we carrying? It's not ours to carry. You see, if you have been born again, if you have become a Christian, you gave every part of your life to Jesus, correct? Does that include your problems? Does that include your rejection? Does it include when you feel pushed out, unloved, unwanted, etc., etc.? So why are you hanging on to it? Because it's not yours anymore. If I sell my car to Robert, And the next day I go round to Robert and say, Robert, you're not looking after the car the way I would expect you to. Robert would say to me very politely, go away, it's nothing to do with you now. Is that true? So why are you still badgering God about stuff you should have given to him when you got born again? Did you give it to him or did you lend it to him? Here, God, here's a problem, but I want it back in the morning so I can worry about it a bit more. And this healing, Lord, I'm not sure about it, so I'll walk it for a week, and then if you'd give me a bad leg back, I think I'd be much better. Thanks. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But that's what we do as Christians. And God is calling us to be a people that are free. That give it away. Now, I don't want to be the Pharisee. Because let's be honest, if I'm going to be one of those two people, I'm going to be the prostitute. Because I mess up my life all the time. And I learn that if I come back to his feet, and I say, Father, I've messed up again, and I can give it back to him, I can walk in freedom. But if I keep hold of it, it will weigh me down, and eventually I will fall. How much do we want Jesus? Enough to put down the hurt. Enough to put down the wound. Enough to put down all those things God's been speaking to us about this morning. And say, I no longer want to carry that pain anymore. I want to get rid of it. I want to give it to Jesus. That's what salvation is all about. You see, how did Jesus say it to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. No baggage. You don't see babies coming out the womb dressed with a rucksack on their back. You know, hello, who are you? I've just been born, I'm off to school. Give up everything. When that baby's born, they're useless. Can't do anything. I've tried. I've tried my kids, you know, when they come and say, right, up you get, let's go. It takes them weeks to work out what the fingers are. You remember? Kids go. How much do we want to give up? How much of Jesus do we want? Because ultimately, the only way we're going to get all that Jesus has for this church is we've got to give up all the baggage we carry with us. We're going to have to get on our faces before Jesus and say, I'm tired of this because it hurts too much. I'm tired of this because the pain is killing me. I need to meet with you. So then, it comes to the bottom line. Gosh, time. You see, the gospel is about one word. Love. Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, you find God walks with Adam. Isn't that nice? In the evening, when it's cool, God would come and say, how's your day been, Adam? And Adam would say, not bad. I've dug over the vegetable patch, planted some potatoes. I pruned those trees. God says, oh, wow, you've done a good job there. How are your hands? Yeah, fine, thanks. What are you having for tea tonight? He says, well, I don't know. And then sin comes in. And God can't walk with us like that anymore. And yet if you go right back to the end of Revelation, it says that the dwelling place of God will be with man again. So from the start to the end, what's God wanted? To love us. So John 3:16, the famous verse, God so loved. And love is what it's all about. And so our world is doing everything it can to change love. Marriages are being affected. Families are being affected. Relationships are being destroyed. Why? Because the one thing the world cannot abide or teach is love. We teach duty, responsibility. We teach what I want, my needs, I need my personal space and all this tripe. And love gets relegated. And the gospel's all about love. And what does God want from you? He doesn't want you to do anything. He doesn't want you to be anything. He doesn't want you to go anywhere. Just wants you to love him. Well, how'd you fall in love? You see, if I said to you, you've all got to love me, some of you are going to go, oh, blooming heck. How'd you get to love someone? Relationship. You spend time with them. You spend time alone with them. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples, because we've got to draw this to a close, otherwise I'm going to get shot. So, God comes along and says, I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm going to pick on you, Chris, is that all right? So Chris says, okay, Lord, I want to be in a relationship with you. And God says, so that we get into a better relationship, here's a book all about me. Read this and then we'll talk. So Chris reads the book and comes back. God says, okay, do you love me now? And she says, well, no, I don't know you. And God says, well, you've read the book. It's all in the book, isn't it? No. So you don't get a relationship out of a book. How many people have long distance relationships and they write letters every week and you think we get to know the person turns up and they go, oh hell. Yeah? Because you can't get a relationship out of a book. Relationship comes from spending time with people. And so God says, get saved, get born again, and just spend time with me until you are overwhelmed with a love relationship. Then let's see what happens. Now you think, well, that's ridiculous. Let me tell you what happens. John and I on Friday morning stand out there and we talk to all the people. Hello Dougie, how's your week been? Yes, fine, da-da-da. And there's Alan and there's da-da. And we're chatting to them all and we're getting to know them. So the little fella comes, and this is very deceptive, because he's always got on an Arsenal coat and an Arsenal hat. Can anyone guess which football team he supports? West Ham. Because the first few weeks I talked to him, I said, you know, how are Arsenal doing, da-da-da? And he said, no. Well, why have you got an Arsenal top? Well, I support Arsenal women, but West Ham men. Now, getting to know him. And some of the people start coming in here, don't they? Albert comes in. And someone's telling me Albert used to do this, that and the other. How do you know? Because you spent time with him. You just sat here. You didn't have a job to do. I didn't get you to come in and say, right, when Albert comes in, you've got to do this, do this, do this, do this. Just have a chat, see what happens. And you're building a relationship with Albert and his wife. And Gordon and Rosita. And all the other people. We're building relationships. Not by a book or by a letter. But just spending time. And God says, would you stop doing stuff? Would you stop trying to be something? Stop trying to go somewhere. Just be still and know I am God. But don't you want to do the washing up? No, do it tomorrow. Well, don't you want me to? No, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to come and spend time in my presence. And when we know each other and we walk together, let's see what happens. That's the gospel. That's what this woman had understood that the Pharisee could never understand. He didn't want to spend time with Jesus. He wanted the kudos. She wanted Jesus. Whatever the cost. Joseph of Arimathea. Try saying that with the wrong teeth. He risks his life and says, can I take that body and bury it? Because bodies normally that were crucified were thrown into the rubbish dump. And he's risking the authorities. He said, no, let me bury him. The women came and said, can we anoint him with oil? No, you can't. he's a criminal, we are going to throw him in the rubbish dump. But they faced death just because they loved him so much. They wanted just to anoint him with oil. You read about these stories of Christians being martyred and you think, how on earth could anyone do that? You can't do it. It's impossible. Unless you're in love. Because God is calling us as a fellowship. New church, new day. We're going to see stuff happen. We're already seeing stuff happen. We're seeing miracles like, you know, wow. And God says, I need you to go further. I need you to deal with baggage and things you've held on to for too long. Because I need a people, an army, that's not weighed down, but is ready to move. And it becomes a decision time. Do I want all that Jesus has for me? Am I prepared to put down my hurts, wounds, damage, anxiety, rejection, failure, fear of failure? And you can add your own title. Am I prepared to give that to him? Am I prepared to let it go? And you'll know the thing that affects you, because it constantly gets you. As I said earlier, I use the rejection one because it's easy, you know. Chris comes in. Well, I don't speak to Chris. Because actually I'm busy with something else and I've got a problem going on. But to Chris, who's got a rejection issue, says, see, doesn't like me, hasn't talked to me. And then someone else comes in, by which time I finish what I was doing, so I go to this person, I give them a hug. How are you? Hello, da, da. Chris says, see, hugged her, didn't hug me. Typical, I'm not wanted. At the end of the meeting, we're talking, chatting, cup of tea, la 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 la. But for some reason, no one spoke to Chris for 5 minutes. And the enemy says, see Chris, not wanted. See, that's what something like rejection does. Fear of failure, all those sort of things. A little nugget that's left behind. This short. By the way, none of this is true. That's why I picked on Chris. And I did give her a hug this morning, just so that you're aware. But do you get the image? And this morning Jesus is saying to us, Shoreham Church, do you want me? Do you want to fall in love again? Do you want to get rid of some of this baggage and come into his presence? That's decision time for you and for me. So we're going to sing a song. Might even sing two. Might even sing three. Because I'm in that sort of mood. Don't care. It's a song we've sung a lot recently. And I want you to examine yourself while you pray and sing this song. It says, I want to be out of my depth in your love. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of what I'm carrying. And if what I've been saying has resonated, I will challenge you to do something really tough. And that's during this song, come out here and get someone to pray with you. Why do we do that? Because of saying to Jesus, I've carried this baggage for too long. I'm tired of being held back. I want to come into your presence. Can you imagine if you went to a disco or something and you saw somebody and you thought, I like that person a lot. And you went home. And they said, why did you go home? Well, I'm not getting out of my chair and going where they are. They might think wrong of me. Jesus says, do you want me or not? It's up to you. But in the words of scripture, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be in his presence. Because the more I'm in his presence, the more as a church we have something to give. Let's stand together. Out of my depth, in your love. If there's stuff you need to deal with, please come at the front and get one of the leaders just to pray with you, to pray together, to agree with you, that we can break these things that have held us back. Let's stand. Thank you. make this a prayer.
I want to be out of my depth in your love, feeling your arms so strong around me, out of my depth in your love, out of my depth in you. I want to be out of my depth in your love, feeling your arms so strong around me, out of my depth in your love, out of my depth in you. Learning to let you lead, putting all trust in you, deeper into your arms, surrounded by so tired, made my security. Give me the strength I need to simply let go.
Any other place or any other person. Oh Lord, you're wonderful. I get things wrong, you love me.
Yeah.
I get things right, and you hug me as well. You never make me feel bad.
Thank you, Father.
You always lead me in the way you want me to want to be. And that is what I want.
Thank you.
Just to be with you, Lord.
Yes. Give him double, Lord. Give him double. Give him double. Shiva.
Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again, oh, to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else can take your place. Oh no, no. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You are my desire.
We look forward to hearing what you've been doing next week. Guard us, guide us, protect us. And let your name be glorified. Amen.
Amen.